This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome the Wood Brothers.
Couldn't understand. When I was young, I didn't know anything about hurting and healing. When I was young, guess I didn't believe I'd ever be a man. But now I'm grown, and things are not exactly what they seem. I think about God, and I wonder, does he think about me?
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking by phone today with Oliver Wood of the Wood Brothers. How are you doing, Oliver?
Doing great. Thanks, John.
Thank you so much for making time to talk shop with us here on Musicians Spotlight. In full disclosure for our listeners, I will say that this is not the first time that we have spoken, Oliver and I. We did do an interview this past summer, the summer of 2017, at the Kettle House Amphitheater in Missoula. And due to some technical malfunctions, the interview did not survive the summertime. And we're not going to do the same interview, though Oliver and I talked about perhaps just kind of trying to reenact it with different voices and just do it word for word. But instead, and in fact, we've got some brand new stuff to talk about in the new project, the new recording project, One Drop of Truth. Are you calling me from Nashville?
Yes, I'm in Nashville currently. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's where you guys are based out of. And I can't remember if it was you that said this or if it was your brother that Nashville in general was a place where a musician can feel like a normal person.
Yeah, you know, a musician, if you go to Starbucks and, you know, there's probably, you're a minority, you know, and oftentimes you get people that say, hey, yeah, well, that's cool, you play some guitar, what's your real job or mm-hmm. whatever, and so you feel a little bit like an outcast or a freak, whereas Whereas in Nashville, you go to a coffee shop and you're within the majority. You hear all the conversations you might overhear are about music, whether it's recording or touring or management or, you know, it's all music related. And so you feel like you fit in.
And in addition, I would think, you know, the barista that serves your coffee might be a killer dobro player or something.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah.
Well, Oliver, let's dive right into talking about the most recent recording project, One Drop of Truth. And one of the things that I took from your website was it's the freest album we've done, the most independent album we've done, and was the most fun we've ever had making a record. So talk to me about that and kind of use that as a starting off point, maybe.
You know, until now, and typically, I think it's very common for artists, especially artists on our level, which is kind of some, you know, we're not like rock stars with huge budgets or anything like that, but we have quite a catalog, and we've been doing this for over 10 years, and so we've had a lot of experience, and you know, we've been making records for 30 years, but with the Wood Brothers for 12 years, I believe. So, but generally, the process has been to write and compile enough songs for an album, and then in a two-week period, record all those songs with the help of a producer in a fancy studio, and sort of that model is very common. And what we had always dreamed of doing was to spread out the process and really just record songs as they are written, and then just put them away. And so over the last year, that's exactly what we did. We would write a song and maybe have two songs ready, and we'd go in the studio. And rather than a fancy studio with a producer, we'd go into a more modest studio that we really felt comfortable in, and we would just produce ourselves. You know, we thought these could just be demos. Maybe the song is just a demo, but we'd record our first impressions and take chances and had a very low pressure situation. No deadline, nothing like that. And that process was so liberating because it felt like each song got much more attention. And this way, we got to spread it out, and we would record a song. Maybe it only took a day, but we could get away from it, go on tour for a couple of weeks, come back and listen, maybe change some things, maybe completely redo it. Anyway, for us, it was the most fun ever, and I feel like it shows in the album. Like, it's, I don't know, I'm very proud of it for just the way it came out.
My wisdom came from all the toughest days. I never learned a thing being happy. All of my suffering came, I didn't appreciate it. I never learned a thing being happy. But to know how it feels now and then, I got a happiness joy. Happiness Jones. All of my answers came, driving myself insane. I had a dragon to tame to get happy. All of my peace and I'm rock my boat. All that was stuck in my throat when I was happy. And all of those songs I was singing, hey, while my boat was sinking. And next thing I'm thinking, I'm happy. I might as well change my name to Happiness Jones, my friend. Happiness Jones. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah, we're happy, 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 Happiness Jones. Happy, 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 Happiness Jones. Yeah, happy, 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 happy.
Oliver, in talking about this new project, One Drop of Truth, I wanted to touch on the lyrical content of what's going on in this project, because that's one of the things that I've always appreciated about your music and your work is that you can tell from the first, I was going to say drop of the needle to show my age, the first sounds coming to your ears from the Wood Brothers, you can tell you guys are outstanding players, but there's always been a lyrical depth that a lot of times it seems like bands that are comprised of great players don't necessarily go to. There's a lot of different flavors lyrically for me, yeah. It seems like. So talk about what's kind of going on lyrically with this record, if you saw any trends, or if it was more sort of a little slices of life. What's your take on that?
It's interesting that there is a cohesiveness to the lyrics, and because that is not intentional, and I think that happens often subconsciously. There are definitely a lot of references to water in some form or another, storms, hurricanes, rain, tears, floods, without even like getting too specific about it. From song to song, you know, water is something that on the one hand sustains us, and on the other hand is something so powerful that we can't control. It can destroy us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a drought, these are things that we really aren't in control of. And so, you know, the theme that I take away from this whole album in general is that we are not in control. And so we need to be able to cope with that. And I think one way to cope with that is just to be mindful and to pay attention to staying connected with each other. I feel like that runs through the record.
The concept of connecting in this day and age, and at least in our culture, in American culture, is really interesting to me, particularly in the sense that on the one hand, we have these devices in our hands and at our disposal that keep us open quote, connected, close quote.
Yes.
And see, I just find people are hungry, and I can say this for myself personally, I'm thirsty for real human connection and real conversation.
Yes. So. Well, that's one of the most rewarding things the older I get about playing music live for people. It can be hard work just to be away from your family all the time and traveling and sometimes, and it can also be very indulgent, like, look at everybody's paying attention to me, but sometimes you just lose track. You're like, what the heck are we doing this for? And it comes down to, I always remind myself now, and it's on my radar, it's all about connecting with people and connecting them to each other and us connecting to them and us connecting to each other. Like when we're in a room full of people and everybody's singing along, and we're all singing together, it just, there's nothing to beat that. At that moment, everything's okay, and that's why we're doing it. It's important, you know?
Huckleberry and Shreveport does what it's supposed to do. Cause the rain keeps coming. Yeah, the rain keeps coming. I must have called you 99 times, but I couldn't get through. Yeah, the rain keeps coming. 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 Nothing's ever for certain until the levee breaks down. The water comes in and the river takes the town. There's a shelter at the high school gym, and they got blankets and food, but you won't sleep easy. No, you won't sleep easy. It's been a few days since I heard any word from you. No, and I don't sleep easy. Well, I don't sleep easy. Yeah, the rain keeps coming. 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 And nothing's ever for certain till the levee breaks down. The water comes in and the river. The river takes the time. And the river takes the time. Yeah, the river takes the time. The river takes the time.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Oliver Wood from the Wood Brothers. Oliver, as I mentioned and mentioned to our listeners, we have done an interview before, so I did want to reference one subject that we talked about when we when we first met last summer. And it's one that I know that you get asked about a lot, but I think it's for those folks who are just being introduced to your music, I think it's a really interesting part of your story, and that's your parents' influence, if I may touch on that. Mm-hmm. I remember we had a really good conversation about this, and you know, your dad was a molecular biologist but musician who who I discovered was not so much just on the side. He recorded with Joan Baez and did
serious.
Yeah.
And it's funny, in his retirement now, he's very serious about it again. He's writing protest songs, and he's playing a lot of guitar in spite of his Parkinson's. And his, you know, his just increasing age, he's passionate about it still. So,
oh, that's fantastic. And then also your mom was a writer and very influential on you. And of course, part of the story, if I may touch on this again, because I know it's a personal thing, is how much she influenced both you and your brother by her journey with and her battle with ALS, and how that brought the two of you from, you know, different paths that you were pursuing musically to come together and work. And then subsequently, you know, her passing also had a big influence, as of course it always does on any of us.
Sure. Yeah. Well, on the subject of our dad, when we were growing up, you know, our first exposure to live music was at when we were babies, because our dad was always playing guitar and singing. And, you know, his background was a serious folky folk singer and guitar player, especially in his sort of college days, late 50s, early 60s. And he would play at any family gathering or just sometimes sitting around the fire at night. And so, you know, that was a huge influence just to see that. So between his repertoire and his playing and us just getting into his record collection, that was huge. You know, that's where we started our study of music. On our mom's side, she was a published poet and had a very, she was German, and she lived as a child as a refugee during World War II, and lost her father during that time, and just lived a, you know, had a really rough childhood during the wartime years, and ended up becoming a really great writer, and I think used the writing a lot too, just to process all of her, all the traumatic stuff and history that goes with her family. You know, Chris and I, as kids, we never understood, you know, the music stuff was awesome. We could immediately connect with it. The more, at the time, complicated deal with the poetry was not something we appreciated, I don't think, until later. But certainly when she was dying and when she passed, we really dug into her work and it just blew us away. I mean, we just could not believe it. And I think it really inspired us.
One of the things I remember, Oliver, and again, if I may bring this up, I remember you guys talking about the fact that she chose the day of her death and it was the first day of spring.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it felt. I mean, I guess we'll never know for sure, but she suffered from ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. And it was the first day of spring that she actually passed. But I think we really got the feeling like that was in her, that was her will. I think she waited until that first day of spring. And it's kind of documented in one of our songs. We have a song called Blue and Green, which is a little bit about birth and rebirth and death and sort of circle of life things. And there is mention of that in that song. And, you know, even though she couldn't speak anymore and we couldn't really communicate with her by that time, I get the feeling she knew what she was doing.
Well, can't you hear your mama talking? She told you to hush your rattling tongue. Well, sit down in your chair, boy, eat your supper, leave your brother alone. I was once just like you. Well, I was green and blue. Well, my mother told my father one day how much she had loved her life with him. Then she rose up from her body and she vanished in the blue and green spring. She was once just like me. Well, now she's gone into the blue and green. Blue and green, blue and green. Well, you ain't lived till you seen the blue and green. Well, you should have seen my grandmother. She was tough and strong as any man. She was sweet and gentle when she held you like the lover she used to have. But he was gone, now so is she. But they live on in the blue and green. The blue and green, the blue and green. Well, you ain't lived till you seen. Blue and green, blue and green. You ain't lived till you seen the blue and green. Well, keep on growing up so fast, the life will hit you hard as you can take. Well, tell me all your troubles, boy, and I will try to take those troubles. You were once just like me. We are coming from blue and green. Blue and green. Blue and green. You ain't lived till you seen blue and green. Blue and you ain't lived. Well, can't you hear your mama talking? She told you to hush your rattling tongue.
Oliver, I wanted to talk to you about a couple other things. One of the things that I remember from talking to you before, and I think coming across this in some of your bio material, was your appreciation for kind of starting the Wood Brothers journey anyway in your 40s, you know, after you'd gotten quite a bit of experience under your belt from various projects that you were involved with and that Chris was involved with. And that particularly as siblings, I think you said, you know, that was something that you felt that, you know, when you get to your 40s, maybe you're ready for this now. And I think Chris, you know, also said by that time, the road is kind of beat on you a little bit. The music industry is kind of, life has happened and kind of seasoned you and prepared you for something like undertaking this kind of a project with your brother or with any musical partner, I suppose, but particularly with a sibling.
Well, yeah, we're 4 years apart. I think I was 39, turning 40 when we officially started the Wood Brothers. We had both been in the business for a long time by then. What's nice about then, we had been apart physically as well, and frankly, drifted apart as brothers even. You know, we were not that close. We moved to different parts of the country. We were in completely different musical circles and developed our music and our personalities separately. The sad part is that we drifted apart. The positive is that it's the music that sort of reconnected us. I think what, you know, a lot of people ask, like, do y'all fight since you're brothers and have that thing like the Kinks, you know, like the Kinks or like the Black Crowes or all these
Oasis
brother bands. Yeah, Oasis, who are just known as just feuding brothers. And I think we really benefited from our time apart because we were able to develop our own identities and feel confident about ourselves. And I think just once you establish that you shed a lot of baggage, you know, then we don't have to, there's no competition. This is who I am now and that's who you are now. And it's great. And it's a complimentary thing. And I don't know, we just don't carry the baggage that we may have carried had we just started a band in our teenage years and just been trying to do it our whole lives. So that's the way it feels. It feels like, all right, we're just our own thing and we can do this and it's easy and it's fun.
One Drop of Truth is the most recent recording project from the Wood Brothers. The website is thewoodbros.com. That's where you can find out more information about the band and everything that they are up to these days. Oliver, thank you so much for making time to call us from Nashville today and talking shop with us and being a guest here on Musician Spotlight. And I hope that it's not the last time. Hope we get a chance to speak again down the road.
I hope so too, John. Thank you so much for having me.
When there's a number you call if your house gets washed away, but it'll never be the same. No, it'll never be the same.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Oliver Wood of the Wood Brothers. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online, on Facebook, and on Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. This interview was engineered by Beth Ann Austin. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.